This is Player One.
This is Player Two.
And you're listening to another great show only on the Four Eyed Radio Network.
The Third.
For more great shows, check out www.foureyedradio.com.
Hi, this is Kyle from Arcade Bros. If you're like me, you like a little joy in your life. We're proud to present that we are sponsored by America Joy Print Shop. If you need cut vinyl, store lettering, business printing, forms, car magnets, and anything else printing needs, America Joy is the one for you. When you contact America Joy, just tell them the Fern sent you.
Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Long Boxcast. I am your host, Kyle, and I'm here with my other host,
Steve-O.
Steve-O!
I know, I'm pretty much the network mascot now.
It's the network's mascot, the Fern Maple Leaf.
I'm on everything.
You're the Fern Maple Leaf.
We have a lot
You're Dave's hot sauce. You put that shit on everything.
Yeah. Steve's hot sauce. Don't put that shit on everything.
Don't put it on my dick!
Yeah. yeah, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Big movie news.
It hit Friday.
Yeah. But before we get into that, Kyle, let's do our intro.
Let's do our normal shindig. Basically, yeah, we tweeted it too. So if you guys want to talk about it, we're going to talk about it on this episode. Feel free to chime in afterwards using our fancy new hashtag. I think I'm using
balls deep.
Balls deep in your bet. No, I think I just used. I don't even remember what I used. I think I'm just using site bargain bins or something like that. Hang on, let me find that. Let me give you the right info before I
no make sure up. That's what we do here.
Yeah, basically use hashtag your long box. Let's just say that for now. Like, what's in your long box? You know, so hashtag your long box.
What's in your long box?
Ah, so just use that. Get with us. Like, we're going to, when this episode airs, obviously, a lot of what we have been discussed between here and there. So definitely, like, get your points in. But before that, our show is sponsored by America Joy Print Shop, the official sponsor of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Business cards, flyers, posters, banners, cut vinyl, car wraps, and more. Visit AmericaJoy.com for more information. Just tell them the Fern sent you. Also, Raven Designs, illustrations, and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RavenCruise.com. Critical Care Comics is also a charity organization helping get comics into the hands of children who are sick or are in need of some cheering up. And nothing cheers up kids better than free comics. So definitely check them out, criticalcarecomics.org, for all that, and give to those kids because they sure could use it. You're listening to us again on the Four Eyed Radio Network, The Fern. For more information about this network, go to foureyedradio.com. You can also find us on those iTunes, Stitcher, Zoom Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Miro Guide, Mixcloud, Double Twist, Spreaker. And I think Eric is searching right now. And if not, he's inventing one. Like a mad scientist in a emporium somewhere, he is building his own podcast network device, apparatus, so he can send it. You know, if I had one right there, I'd come up with Brainiac. I'd come up with the Brainiac. That way it's all-knowing, all-seeing, and it'll shrink your towns if you don't subscribe.
You know, yeah, DC, you want to get on that. Make a Brainiac kind of hub.
Heck,
you know?
Yeah. And then just search for us, Long Boxcast, and we'll come right up. Steve, if you want, let's mix it up. What have you been reading this week?
I finished Volume 1 of Batman Detective Comics. And now I'm working on Batman Detective Comics 2. This one is actually kind of cool. It starts out with a Catwoman jumping through like a window and kind of falling almost to her death. And then all of a sudden you see like Poison Ivy's attacking her and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you see Batman just standing there and there's nothing. And you realize, oh, she's been hit with a scarecrow gas.
Oh, Jesus.
So he hits her with this formula. He's like, yeah, she'll feel like she'll have a hangover or whatnot, but I only have like 45 minutes to go or whatnot. And Batman takes off. So it was a cool take. You got to see a new revamp of the scarecrow. They actually kind of went more with him looking kind of like how he does in the movie, where he really just kind of has a bag over his head. You know, it's really kind of cool looking mask, though. And then he's kind of wearing almost like a suit, but the suit's kind of like, you know,
kind of what it was,
beaten, broken, and kind of destroyed, not like a fancy suit and all that kind of great stuff. But yeah, it's a really good read. He runs into this other new kind of villain. I thought it was a Red Skull. Not Red Skull, Atomic Skull.
Oh, okay, Atomic Skull.
But it's not. It's a completely different. But he has. It's almost. He almost looks like a really cool rendition of Red Hood, but it's not him either. So, but yeah, it's a really fun read. It's kind of cool. It actually ties in with a little bit of the Court of Owls as well, going through that. So really, like, to me, to get in depth in the whole Batman universe, I'm probably gonna have to pick up Batman Dark Knight now.
Right.
Pick up Batman Incorporated. There's gonna be the Nightwings I want to get, the Batgirls, the Batwoman comics as well. So
Batman the Pennywise days, and it's also just him and like Pennywise, like, let's go solve mysteries.
Batman and
right away, sir.
And Robin's New 52. So there's a bunch of Batman. So it's not like the normal, like, kind of like Flash, where I could just pick up Flash Volume 2 and Volume 1, you know, and be current with Flash and Aquaman and Green Arrow and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a whole bunch of different, like, Batman books and Superman books as well, I believe, that just have, like, all these different things that are going on. The stories intertwine. And it's really kind of cool to see that the stories intertwine, considering how it's a bunch of different writers on different projects. You know, you got Zack Snyder on the original Batman comics. You got a bunch of other different writers on the other ones. So, but that's what I've been reading this week. It's a good read. I'll have to let you borrow it. And probably when I get done with that, I'll probably finally read Catwoman Volume 3, which deals with her dealing with the Joker for a little bit, I think, in that one as well. But freaking all over the place. Now, Kyle, what have you been reading?
I picked up a book, and actually I went back and I bought this one first because I was actually recommended to me by a coworker, and then I actually went back and I'm looking for number 1, 2, and 3, as well as 5, and like I think 5 there's like part A, part B. Basically, the one I'm reading right now is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Volume 4, Sins of the Fathers.
Radical!
It is really good. It's by Kevin Eastman, one of the first writers for the thing, Tom Waltz, and Andy Kuhn. It's really good. What I like about this version is Slash is in this comic.
It's
so cool how they did Slash in this, because they made him like gigantic and he's like terrorizing, and like he ends up owning the turtles halfway through. So
yeah, actually that's what I liked about the new cartoon show. Slash comes on and he really takes a part to what's his face, Raphael.
Okay.
And like, and then Raphael's kind of talking about like, I don't need these other turtles, are holding me back, all this kind of stuff. So when Slash and him go out on a night patrol, Slash then starts hunting down the other turtles.
Right.
And what I like about it, he beats them up and then he takes their bandanas and he wraps them around his like arm.
Yeah,
like
almost like the sling of like trophy. Yeah.
But it was really kind of cool. I really liked how they did Slash in that one. He's like a huge kind of turtle. It's not that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the original Slash from the old school cartoon show, the 1984. But this one, they really made him badass. I really am liking that new Ninja Turtle show that's on Nickelodeon. I think they're doing a really fantastic job. I mean, they're entwining like everything from the Ninja Turtle universe, basically, like the Mutagen, the Krangs, Shredder, mutants, all this kind of stuff. I'm kind of hoping we might see them maybe next season, or even maybe teaser this trailer season or whatnot. But there is this talk about maybe Bebop and Rocksteady. You know, ooh, that would be amazing. But I don't know if we'll see that or not. But yeah, so this is back to kind of like, this is like the traditional Ninja Turtles. This is where it's kind of like nitty gritty. They're actually like kind of stabbing people.
Yeah, what's neat about this one is this is like the Shredder's already been established. They have Krang. Krang has like actually growing an army of like these mutant creatures. And Krang looks freaking wicked too. His creature robot looks more like zombie than it does like a robot. Really good.
Shredder!
It looks really good though. Like, yeah, the storyline, and this storyline is great because it's almost like the Turtles and Shredder and stuff Splinter have found like a almost like an old missile silo, and that's where they were because their old base was destroyed. This is actually happening quite a bit. Like, their sewers keep getting infiltrated by the Foot Clan and getting destroyed.
Dude, we should really like stop advertising.
Stop advertising where we are. So then, what's really cool in this one, like that's what it is. Like, all of a sudden, like they're outside looking for in the base and they're hearing all this noise. And it's the same thing like where they're hot flying over rooftops and Slash like looks up and sees them and he starts hunting them. And literally, with the one of the panels is great because they flash the light. All of a sudden, like Michelangelo's like, "What is that?" Flashes light. So he's got like Leonardo in the hand, and Donatello and Raphael are just unconscious, like, on the ground, and Michael's just there with the flashlight, like, shaking, and Slash is just huge, huge snapping turtle-looking creature.
Yeah.
And, like, it looks awesome. So then it ends on a certain cliffhanger, and then it's cool because they actually brought, what's his name? It was the cat with the one eye. Like, he had a pirate patch.
Remember
this. He was like kind of like him and him and
one-eyed pussy.
Well, it was cool because like him and Splinter kind of have odd ends. And what's cool though is the cat is more of a gangbanger. Like, he's more of like a thug, and he has like a gang of people. So that he kind of ties in again. Like, there's a part where earlier in the saga, I guess they end up shooting him, and he was left for dead. Like, he ends up getting shot and left for
dead. Not alive, bitches.
Which is how he loses his eye. Like, it's how the whole thing, he has, like, this whole revenge thing, and he's gone, like, throughout most of the comics. And then all of a sudden, out of the nowhere, like, he's back, and, like, he ends up finding Slash, and him team up, and he's like, I'll teach you all you need to know to, like, stop them. So it's almost like there's, like, a separate entity starting up
cool.
now.
That's actually a comic series that I wanted to start reading again. I want to pick up the volumes of the Ninja Turtles, the original ones. Now, speaking of turtles, these pictures have been leaked. Have you seen what the new turtles look like?
Luckily enough, I do have a shout out for that. Let me do those real quick because we'll get right into that. Aaron Mooney, we have a shout out for you from Facebook for posting a lot of these Ninja Turtle things that I saw. I think you also as well.
I've been posting them. I think she's been reposting them because I know the toys were leaked.
Yeah, I guess they were like the maquettes or the little figurines that they did and then some digital versions.
And then they've released like an actual kind of like a digital poster of them something. And stuff. Yeah. So I'm going to actually pick up the picture too because I know we're gonna dive into this. But go ahead and do the shout outs.
We got Eric Dewey, who, of course, because he liked a lot of our shit we posted. On Twitter, we have at Solurian Ranger, at SFE Escape Pod, at Ranger Command PH, at Edgar R. Burroughs, at Darth Parallax, at Briscoe Drew, at James Delt, at John Soraz 23, at Mark T. Nobleman, at Do You Even Brony Bro, at Jedi Sith Ewok, and at AWT Podcast are all shows that are on the 4-Eyed Radio Network. And, of course, Solurian Ranger, I believe, is the Power Ranger as well.
Yes.
It's his Twitter feed. And, of course, SFE is for Starfleet Escape Pod, which is also a podcast on the 4-Eyed Radio Network. So we thank you guys for finally following yet another show on the 4-Eyed Radio Network. But yeah, speaking of which, since we were just talking about Turtles, Michael Bay is redoing them.
Well, he's producing it.
I know somebody else is... responsible.
It's not so much as that, but they even have some pictures out right now, which, okay, like, I gotta hand it to them. Like, it shows, there's a picture right now of some of the movie steals, and it's literally, like, April O'Neil walking, and there's the turtle in the trench coat.
It's like a giant trench coat.
I'm like, okay, they're bringing it back to that kind of, you know, like, back to the old school movie and stuff like that, but they finally did release...
And you can actually see shots of them, I guess, with, like, they're wearing a turtle suit, which has, like, a lot of, like, the squares on it for, like, the modeling
purposes. Yeah, the motion
capturing. So they have a lot of that on there. So, like, they definitely are doing, like, due diligence. And I guess the actors who were playing them, it's kind of weird because most of them are kind of heartthrobs. Like, if you look at them, like, the one guy was Aquaman on the Smallville series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, he played Aquaman on the Smallville. Like, they did a quick Justice League kind of spot. He was that. Now he's Raphael, like, in this film. Like, so it's kind of, like, they have a couple guys that are kind of heartthrobs, and some guys that look really good. Like, one guy looks really thin. He's supposed to be, like, Michelangelo. And then their suits even have, like, an armband and a headband. And the headband is, like, a helmet that is red with a matching red armband with an R on it or an L. So definitely, like, those helped them coordinate and color code and stuff. And obviously, you want people who are fit enough so they could do off some of the martial moves. And that's kind of, like, how these guys are. They seem young.
Yeah, like,
fit,
I'm looking forward to them. Like, I get they're doing, like, the motion capture, which is a really smart idea to do right now and stuff like that, but the turtles, they finally released some of the turtles, like the toys and how they look, and I don't know. How do you feel about it? I'm trying to find a better picture because they had some really good ones.
Yeah, they had these maquettes that were out, and like all I could see of the one maquette that I did like, that I was like, that looks sick, is Raphael. Like, I thought his turtle, his pose, he looked a lot bigger. He had almost like a whole, like, almost like a headband. It wasn't just like a head wrap, like a bandana.
Yeah.
It was almost like a big, like, headband, and it looked wicked. Like, I actually liked his pose. He had more of, like, a brawler pose. You saw the size.
Yes.
Like, he definitely looked like he was going to be more, like, punching and then maybe hitting you with the scythe. It didn't look like more of, like, this, like, the stabbing with the three ends. It looked more like he was going to be more of a brawler. That I loved. Once I saw Leonardo, though, my jaw dropped because I was like, are you effing kidding me? You're a Ninja Turtle. You're a giant. I mean, I don't care you're doing the whole space thing, because let's figure it. Cranks from space. Maybe they could do tie in
that. Well, yeah, I think that's,
you know,
that's
maybe
what the rumor has been.
They're bounty hunters.
Yeah, they were thinking of they come from come from space or Dimension X, basically.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe that's the whole deal. Fine, whatever. You want to do that because you got to appeal to a new audience. The classic audience knows the Ooze story. I think it would have done just fine. Nothing to change. It works. It works no matter what age. Don't care if it's 2014 or 1918. It works just fine. The problem I have with Leonardo is you're a turtle. You're a warrior. You got swords, blah, blah. Why the fuck do you have bamboo chest plate? You've got a shell. You don't need bamboo armor because you're like some type of like ghetto samurai thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, let's say it is bamboo armor. Did you grow it in the fucking sewers where there's no light? Like, already, I'm like, I hate his costume because it's like, it doesn't make sense. Raphael looks good. He's a brawler. He's got a bigger build. Like, I like the shell. I like the textures. I like the color schemes on their legs and stuff. Sweet. Awesome. Looks sick. I like the faces. I like some of their faces look good. Still kind of traditional to a turtle, but it still kind of has that new, like, you know, obviously updated graphics. But the Leonardo costume, they just, it doesn't make sense. Donatello has got the technology. He's got, like, an earpiece. He's got, like, goggles. Kind of get it. You know, he's a tech wizard. He always was the tech wizard. He's one of the brains and stuff. So I get it. And I think Michelangelo, like, he doesn't look as kind of, you know, young and, you know, hip as I think I would want him to. But then again, I haven't seen any motion. I've just seen, like, a still.
Yeah, this is the thing, though. Like, Donatello, I don't know why they have to give him glasses.
Yeah.
I can understand if they want to do his kind of like tech stuff. I mean, he has a tech thing attached to his shell. I have a feeling his bow doesn't even look like the traditional bow.
Yeah, I guarantee it's like, going to be like some alien like
thing. But yeah, Raphael, the only thing that really threw me for a loop, I like how Raphael looks. I hate the fact that they gave him a sunglasses on his head in one picture. Michelangelo, the thing that's really throwing me off is you're putting a fucking chain on him like he's some kind of like gangster kind of guy. Leonardo looks fine. Just get rid of that bamboo shit. Why do you need that in the front? You have that other shell. It's a complete package. Like, you don't need the thing. Like, what I don't get, why didn't you just... Okay, have you seen the cartoon, Nickelodeon cartoon?
I've seen the redone, yeah, and I
like
it a lot.
Okay, and how they have, like, their hands wrapped and their feet wrapped and stuff like that. There's, like, okay, but you can still distinguish the turtles. They're maybe different colors and stuff like that and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like, as much as I love Ninja Turtles, this is just like, Raphael, to me, is the only one that, yeah, Michelangelo's skinny because why? Michelangelo does breakdancing. Michelangelo does, you know, all these kind of... Michelangelo, to me, is more of a acrobat.
Yeah, he strikes me as more of like a young, like, hip because he was a skateboarder. He was always like, cowbunga, dude. You remember that
shit? I can see Donatello being, you know, a little bit built more than Michelangelo. Donatello does a lot of tech stuff. So usually you probably think, okay, he probably got his muscles mostly built, not only by training, but working on stuff, lifting things, building equipment and things like that. So yeah, I think Donatello is more going to have a tactical kind of battle to him. Raphael is perfect because he's like the brawler. He's the one that goes in headstrong, head first. Doesn't really think of a plan. I mean, he can think of a plan if he needs to, but most of the time he's just headstrong. And Leonardo, I think, is a fine, he's an overall, you know, leader and everything like that. So he has to, he's basically like Mario in Super Mario Brothers 2, where it's like everybody has kind of ability and he's kind of like the all around kind of guy. But I don't see why they need to give him, like, I don't mind his pads.
Yeah.
Leonardo's pads. I think that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I
kind of
like that idea. Like, oh, cool.
But like, yeah, I just don't know what they're doing with this bamboo armor kind of crap. Like, I agree with you. So I don't know what's going on with this movie. It just sucks to me because it's like you're taking so much from the old 1984 cartoon show that makes me excited. I mean, you're going to have Vern, you're going to have the owner of the plant of the Channel 6. You know, I'm not thrilled with Megan Fox playing April O'Neil because I'm like, you could have casted any redhead in that role that would have
done
a better
job. Well, not even just a redhead. I mean, you could cast just anybody and dye them. Yeah, well, I mean, anybody. I mean, Amy Adams would be like the go-to for anyone. I think for me, like, April O'Neil, I mean, you have to find somebody who is going to be like a, who can portray a reporter, but then also have to realize for the fact that, oh my God, these are giant turtles that I'm talking to and still keep that kind of rapport of like, she understands them, that she can relate to them, not be brutally horrified.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that'd be kind of hard to cast. Like, for me, I kind of would have gone more like the Emma Stone or somebody like that, where, like, somebody who's still very attractive but still, like, can be comedic.
Yeah.
Can kind of have that, like, okay, you're giant turtles. Like, I get it. Like, it's what you are. Like, and not be all like, whoa. Like, you have to have somebody with that kind of personality to be that, where I feel like...
We saw her in Transformers.
We've seen her in Transformers, and I mean, it's very kind
of
like...
To be honest, yes, Transformers, a lot of people hate the movies. They didn't like Michael Bay's interpretation. And yeah, Megan Fox, to me, I know when she was casted, she was just eye candy.
Yeah.
And I get her...
And again, like, she'll be eye candy in this. Like, I remember seeing her. And I get like, kind of what they're doing with her, because there was a scene with her... I guess she's in, like, an aerobics workout stuff, and, like, she's on air, like, doing, like, let's get fit or something. Yeah. Like, so there's going to be plenty of eye candy, like, jump in action and, like, look at my hottie toddy or whatever. I'll give a shout out to this guy real quick because they keep using his art everywhere. And I hate it because no one gives him the credit. I see you're using the goddamn images all over the place, but you're not giving the artist any representation. The artist's name is Dave Rapuza. And if you have no idea who this guy is, you can go to his website. I believe his website is Dave Rapuza, DaveRapoza.blogspot.com. He has a gallery. And in that gallery, he doesn't just paint couple turtles here and there. He does everyone. He did April O'Neil. He does...
Yo, yeah, I love those.
He does Casey
Jones. I love his intake of the turtles. Metalhead. Yeah, oh, yeah, I love this guy's artwork.
Bebop Rocksteady.
Rocksteady.
What I love is his Shredder.
Yeah, his Shredder and all that kind of stuff. Slash.
His artwork is so great. And they're using it everywhere as like to like look at. They're making a Turtles movie.
No one's giving him credit.
No one's giving him one ounce of credit, and they're not using his art at all in the movie at all. I mean, these are just he did these works a long time ago. I mean, goddamn. I mean, like
yeah,
everything.
Even threw in the little mosquito guy for the bat.
And
guy,
if you like, go to his site, he does a shit ton. He does like Hellboy, all these ones. He does all kinds of stuff. Definitely check out his work. They're using all the images because I mean, obviously, if you're a fanboy, you're like this stuff. But this is the thing that bothers me the most. Like we're talking, we're gonna get into casting. Because the movie was announced and some casting was acted in, this motherfucker is going
to
be Shredder.
To be honest,
if you don't know who this motherfucker is, he's the guy in Dark Knight who shoots Heath Ledger. He's the guy with the pump action shotgun who's like, you know who you're stealing from? You guys are dead.
To be honest with you, I've seen him in other stuff. I don't think it's a
Prison
bad,
Break.
Yeah, I don't see it as a bad pick. I would have gone more with Shredder being, I don't know, Japanese.
Yeah, fucking Asian.
But before you can even complain about that, okay, so you have him. Okay, you have Will Arnett. He's going to be playing Vern, which I'm fine with that because Vern is
William
like a comic.
William Fichtner is this guy's name, I guess.
William Fichtner. He's a good actor, and I could see him. Okay, if he's going to play Shredder.
As an actor, I think he's fine, but just when I hear Shredder, right away we're
Japanese,
thinking Oriental. Japanese.
Oriental and stuff like that.
So many...
But before you even get on that case, you have to... Pull up who's playing fucking Splinter.
Okay, I'm doing it right now. Google.
Okay, that's going to just... You're just going to sit there and go, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God, it's Haley Joel Osment. What the
that,
fuck?
Actually, to be honest with you, I'd rather would have had Haley Joel Osment to play Splinter.
Oh man, I just remember the... I just got an image of the old Splinter, and it's like, oh, look how beautiful.
I made a funny. Yeah, you did. But yeah, no, it's just like...
It
is.
Are you fucking... Oh, it's the little guy?
Yeah.
Midget? Goddamn. I mean, he's a great actor, but still, like, is he either going to make him small?
Yeah, why would you...
The whole premise is that he's supposed to be, like, a giant, like,
rat.
8-foot rat.
He's actually bigger than the Turtles.
Yeah, the Turtles are supposed to be super tiny.
And again, you hear Splinter, what do you think?
Fucking...
Oriental guy.
Oriental!
Or Japanese. Or
then again,
Korean
like,
or...
look at the, what is it, Ronin? 47 Ronin, like, Keanu Reeves.
Like, whoa,
man. Like, Roman, dude, I'm like a Ronin now. I know Kung Fu. I don't know. That to me, I'm not as bothered by that because at least I can understand where they're going. Okay, small rats are small. Blah blah blah. Maybe he's a ninja.
No, I'm not.
Maybe they
want to
do like Yoda. You know, you the man.
But like
Yoda
I'm saying,
man.
Like everybody that they're picking for a cast member right now, I'm just kind of like.
Well,
I,
then see, like
I
prime example. Look at this motherfucker. Look right here. They even show the guy's artwork again. David Posen. Look at that guy. He's Asian. He'd be a Splinter. I don't even know who he is.
You know, it would been a you know, it'd been a perfect Splinter.
Ken Watanabe, guy from Last Samurai. He was the Ra's al Ghul like knockoff, and
I didn't even think of him. Yeah. I was actually going with
he actually is a martial artist.
What's his name? Chow Yun-Fat.
He could probably play it, but then look what he did with Master Roshi. Though.
Okay, first off, I don't blame him for Master Roshi because that movie was just shit when it came out. With but think about his voice and his martial arts skills.
Well, true. I mean,
okay,
hard boiled. Let's face it, Splinter doing that shit.
Yeah, dude,
would
fucking
amazing.
What was it called? Oh shit, what is the game?
Stranglehold.
Fucking hell, dude, okay?
He did all his own sense in that.
Better yet, him as Splinter, and the guy you just said for Shredder.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That guy right there.
Perfect.
Whoever that guy is. I mean, anybody. You could do anybody.
It's like, God, it's like, I just don't understand.
Well, I figured this is how it's going to work. Like, we were going to get into this, and I wanted to start tell this story, because let's face it, we make the deciding factors on everything. Not Steve and I personally, but like us as fans. We'll see this.
They haven't given me any of the stuff, though, for me to approve for a Ninja Turtles movie yet.
So you're,
but,
that's why you're holding it up?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, as the fans, we speak all the time. Dark Knight Rises, Batman Begins, films did phenomenal. The Green Lantern movie came out, didn't do so well in the box office because people went to the midnight showing, told their friends don't bother. Critics saw it. They said don't bother. Didn't make as much money. Don't see any plans for a sequel. Don't see Ryan Reynolds back as Green Lantern because it really didn't do that good.
Even though they did sign up for 3 movies.
And I do feel like what I liked about it, though, was like technology was there. Like you had like the characters, the aliens, the creatures. You
had
everything.
Oh, my favorite part is when they're on, was it Oa?
Oa, yeah.
And you got to see all the other Green Lantern creatures.
All the ones you've seen from
like in
the
cartoon
the
shows, the comic books and everything like that. I'm like, these are phenomenal. I mean, fucking, what's his face?
The
one guy, the big dude. He was voiced by...
Grimlock or something?
Yeah, Grimlock.
Well, Grimlock's that's the Transformers.
Grimlock.
Let's do it justice.
But yeah, I mean, like, it looked phenomenal, but then it's like, yeah, you just didn't have the passion there for Hal Jordan and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, Kyle and I said it, it's like you should have done the Jon Stewart story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Probably
I would have done,
better.
I think if they had done Jon Stewart, it would have made more sense to me, just based on population alone. Yeah, whatever this guy is. Who's this guy? I see his picture right here, and I can't even find out who he is. Tell me who you are! Yeah, something with a G, I remember that much. I know all the fans right now are going to be like, you don't even know. You're having a podcast.
You don't even know what you're doing. Fuck your turtles.
You suck in the butt.
What? In the butt, turtle power. What? In the butt, turtle power. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, don't get me wrong. When the Jim Hansen Ninja Turtles came out, you know, in theaters, the first one, I mean, it was pretty adult orientated for that one. I mean, they were cussing. They were doing other stuff because they based the majority of it off of the comic strip opposed to the 1984 cartoon show. Then they made the sequel. They camped it up a little bit, you know, got us involved. They invented, like, new mutants. Of course, looking back at it, we're just like, who the fuck is Token and Razar and all this kind of stuff. And then the third movie was just a huge disappointment. The animatronics looked like crap.
Oh, yeah.
The turtles had like the worst lines ever. What were you expecting? The Addams Family? It was just like, what the hell? And it's like, then they did the CGI Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Basically, it kind of tied everything in together because literally they have the shot at the end of the movie where it has Shredder's helmet, the broken ooze bottle, and the time travel thing. So I'm like, okay, so you even did bring it into that universe, but I thought it was amazing. The turtles got a battle, like you got to see them flip around, do all these cool things. I thought the voice acting was really good. I mean, Nolan North was Raphael in that. You had the guy who played Ratchet in Ratchet and Clank, Leonardo. I mean, you had so many good people behind it. Fuck, even Sarah Michelle Gellar was April O'Neil in that. Even, what's his name, the guy who plays Captain America now, Chris...
Evans.
He was Casey Jones. I mean, you had so many cool things behind it, and it looked amazing. It was a great thing, and I literally thought they were going to do a sequel to that. And I was like, I'll be down for another CGI Ninja Turtle movie. This was awesome. You could bring, and they even set it up like Shredder might come back, all this kind of cool stuff. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Then we were in talks with the whole, oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, another live action movie's coming out. I'm like, all right, I'm down with that. But then it's all like, you attach Michael Bay to it. I'm like, okay, you kind of destroyed everybody with your Transformers thing. Like,
exactly.
People are really pissed off about that. And then you come out and say, oh, they're not even they're from space. It's like you just took their whole entire origin story and just shit all over it. That would be like, hey, yeah, I'm doing a
Kilowog. I can't believe I remember this. Kilowog.
That'd be like me. Hey, Kyle, I'm gonna redo a Superman movie.
Cool, sounds great. Let's do it.
He's from the moon.
I don't think that works.
And he comes.
Does the moon explode, or does he just like it?
No, he just
shows up.
He just shows up.
Okay.
And he's gonna battle
David Tell.
Yeah, and he's his arch nemesis. You're like, Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to fight him. He's going to fight the Joker.
That sounds good. I think it'll do poorly, and I'll never see it again.
Yeah, that would be like me just taking some bullshit origin and just being like, you know what? I like the name. I like the name Superman. I'm just going to do whatever I want with it.
World War II.
But yeah, so, yeah, it's just so many.
I don't know. I guess, like I said, we're just going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to either go to the movie's midnight release and either be like, this is going to be phenomenal. Because the only midnight release I did of a Michael Bay film was the first Transformers. I remember going, like, that night. I worked. A lot of people were talking about it. Some guy at work was talking about it. I'm like, I'm probably going to go. And I did. I went. The theater was packed. Energy was good. People in the theater got a kick out of it.
Movie,
and it was good.
I go, the first movie wasn't that bad. Yes,
kill the black robot. Yes, we know.
Yeah, we killed the black robot. I mean, and then the sequel, a lot of people hated. And the third one, a lot of people hated and stuff like that. But the problem is with Transformers, I understand the moviegoers are like, we got to throw human characters in there. I'm like, dude, you could literally have done a third. I said the same thing with Aliens.
All the humans are dead. Now let's go.
Aliens versus Predator. I said the same thing.
Yeah,
Transformers, you could have given us a 30-minute movie.
Yeah.
With them showing up at
Autobots,
Earth and just fighting the crap out of it, you know, throwing something like, we need to destroy the Earth. Oh, you're not going to destroy the Earth with us around. We would have watched that and we would have eaten it up. We would have been like, this is great. Same thing with the Predators versus Alien movie. Predators walking through the woods, a bunch of aliens jumping, then a bunch of Predators come out and they just battle. No dialogue,
yeah,
just
no dialogue,
fighting. 30-minute movie. 30-fucking-minute movie.
Here's how you open that movie.
Shut up and take my money. That's what I would have said.
You show a Predator, right, as a baby,
uh-huh,
and he watches his family get killed by aliens. That's it. That's all you show. And then you show him out on Earth. Maybe kind of looks similar. Maybe got a scar or something that indicates that he almost was killed by the aliens. Then he goes to Earth, finds the aliens, and they battle. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Like that's as much story as you fucking need.
For these kind of concepts. It's like,
or he becomes Batman. Maybe that would have been cool.
That would have been funny.
Like his butler, like, blah, 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 blah. They train him, you know.
I can't even do the... That was Christian Bale's back.
Christian Bale's back as the Predator.
But
news that we want to talk about.
Now, yeah, the big news that happened Friday, last Friday, I believe it was January 31st,
Is that Iron Fist finally gets weaponized.
No. They finally casted their Lex Luthor, it looks like.
They finally did.
And like we said, everyone's been throwing shit out like forever.
I know, yeah.
Like, who's going to be
Brian
this guy?
Cranston.
Oh, this guy's bald. He's going to play him.
What was it? Aaron from, what's his name?
Joaquin Phoenix, they had
Christian, somebody, who's his name? He was the guy from, I can't think of names today. That's what's bothering me.
The internet.
Well, his name was, he was the guy, he was the father in Kick-Ass. He was like the main, he was basically also Sinestro.
Mark Strong.
Mark Strong was up for it. Joaquin Phoenix was up for it. Bryan Cranston was up for it. Even James McAvoy and Clark, what's his name? Christopher Mintz was even up for like a couple roles in that. Like, not sure who they were gonna play. Mm. And lo and behold, we get two actors that I don't think anyone even was expecting.
Oh yeah, no.
And the two actors, of course, we're talking about is Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor and Jeremy Irons as Alfred Pennywise, the butler of Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
So, Steve, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's go with, I guess, everyone's happy with the Jeffrey Irons pick.
Jeremy Irons, I think everyone's pleased with. He's a well-known British actor. He's been in tons of Shakespearean films. He's been in tons of films. He was actually
the size of a tangerine.
He's been, I think he's going to bring that kind of elegance to Alfred that we haven't really seen. Like, we've had a really, really old guy. He was always telling you, like,
he's fucking his shit up.
Yeah, always Tim Burton movies. Oops, I spilled your bat suit all over your girlfriend. You know, whoops. Alfred.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the television show. They didn't really have Alfred as much because they had basically him and
that one woman, their auntie.
Auntie, whatever, yeah.
But yeah, no, Alfred was like, so,
you know, he'd always just come in every once in a
vagina,
while.
Vagina.
Vagina, vagina.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
I'll bring the nuts over.
Oops.
Spilled them again.
I like that. That's my favorite. I just dressed your girlfriend up in your Batman suit.
Was I not supposed to do that? So plot twist.
It's like, is Bruce Wayne here? No, but Batman is. You got one job. One
secret
job.
Identity. Why don't you know about that?
Who are you?
So I do feel like Jeremy Irons is going to bring definitely a nice refinement.
Yes.
He also has such a good voice that when he gets mad, mm-hmm. like, that's what I'm wondering, if he's actually going to have that rapport with Batman where he's more like a stern father, then he'll be more of like, you know, almost like, you know, very good, sir. Like, because I mean, like, that's what I kind of was thinking about.
Well, I'm kind of hoping they take the past story of Alfred with when he worked for the MI6. And
exactly. They go more
stuff.
Into that aspect where he was like, he was somebody and then... his whole family lineage is all about being like servants and stuff, and then with the Waynes and all, mm-hmm. like tying that all in. Yeah, I think that'll be awesome, and I think it'll him and that role. I don't think anyone's complaining, because here's how I think about it: now that you got somebody like Jeremy Irons as your Alfred, how much better is Ben Affleck's like Batman? Hopefully, will be.
Yeah, will be,
because you'll have that refinement of having to get to play off a character like Jeremy Irons. And to me, like, again, like, the more I'm hearing about it, the more how like I'm hearing the direction of like an older Batman, a wiser Batman. I'm just thinking, okay, cool. Here, the other thing that hit me the other day, and I posted this to Eric Dewey of the 4-Eyed Radio Network, because he had a lot of questions about it, and you had posted the thing about Han question mark with the link and everything.
Yeah, so...
And I had came back and talked about this artist that a lot of people forget about is Burns. Burns was the guy back in the 80s who really updated his physique, changed Superman's physique to being from, like, the... circus performer to actually more of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, because that was kind of what we knew as like the fit, like that was kind of more what we knew as a basically like as a tough guy, and that's why, you know, it's like Batman 2 has that kind of physique now. All these people have this. Well, he also changed Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor always was like the mad freaking scientist. Like back in the 60s and 50s, Lex Luthor was definitely more of a going to, you know, attack you in a more of a scientific kind of way. He'd send meteorites down. He'd build robots, that kind of thing. He was more of like a mad scientist than anything. So obviously, if you're trying to relate Lex Luthor to a more current audience, John Byrne did it as a businessman. And that's the Lex Luthor that I think this whole generation has grown up with.
Yeah, like the one...
So much so...
The one that I grew up with was the one for the Superman cartoon show.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people realize that when Superman Returns, didn't get as much popularity because you were going back with the Kevin Spacey who was set as the old Jackman.
Yes.
Which was more of the...
Not Hugh Jackman.
But just...
Gene Jackman.
Gene Jackman, where it was like, you're a criminal, he was in jail, he was acquitted because Superman didn't show up, because Superman was away, doing whatever.
And to be honest, that was the only part of the movie that I thought was genius.
It was genius on his part, as Lex Luthor, because it's like, haha, I'm going to call him his trial, because he's the one who captured me.
Yeah.
It would testify, and he wasn't able to. Genius there, the whole marrying a widow, things like that. That was definitely more old Lex Luthor. That was more of, like, the sneaky, snarky, you know? And they made him more thuggish, you know, with the whole idea of, like, shanking Superman. Yeah. Like, it's kind of cool, like, oh, yeah, you would do that. He would, knife him in the side, because he was in jail that time getting butt raped. But to me, like, my Lex Luthor was the guy in the more modern comics, in the Justice League, in all these shows where literally he was always two steps ahead. Even though Superman, like, go up against Metallo and it might have LexCorp written all over it,
yeah,
he'd always be like, oh, he stole that from us. And we have video footage showing that he stole it from us. So there was never a way of them being able to tie it into him. So much so that he became president because there was no evidence against him showing him that he was ever done anything wrong. Only people who knew he did wrong were the heroes. But they were never smart enough to prove it.
To me, Lex Luthor is if Batman became bad.
Exactly. He'd
because
be like the counteroperative.
Batman was the guy who was always 10 steps ahead of everybody. Whether or not it was Superman, whether or not it was villains, whether or not it was even people in his own team,
yeah.
Batman was always 10 steps ahead of him, and same with Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor always had a contingency plan.
Yeah, he'd always
like,
have something.
He always had something to prepare himself for whatever was coming his way, whatever. Basically, yeah, he would do something, like he's like, I'm going to do this, but before I do that, I need to plot out what's going to happen after I do this. And he goes ahead and does it, then does his thing, and then sure enough, you know, shit comes his way, and he's like, well... I already took care of everything. And, like,
yeah.
Prime example like that, he's like, oh, yeah, Metallo has LexCorp on it, but...
We didn't do that.
We didn't do this.
Yeah,
and
it was
pulls
this
up the,
yeah,
pulls
it
up
was
all
this
the stuff. I mean, a
that.
Great one was even him with Speedy in the Young Justice show where Speedy loses his arm. He goes after Lex Luthor.
Which was because of Lex's
Lex
thing.
Luthor and everything. He was ready to kill Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor was all like, well, I got... He's like, you can kill me or you can take what's in this box. And he knew exactly what Speedy needed, and it was like
what
a brand
Speedy
new,
was going to do. Yeah,
he needed a brand new arm and everything. Then he gave them this upgraded like mechanical arm, and he became a Arsenal, I think, after that. But it was just like he knew this was coming.
Yeah, he knew how to like get him to turn around.
So
like,
that's what I love about Lex Luthor and everything that. Now, why I say Jesse Eisenberg? Don't get me wrong; he probably can do a phenomenal job and everything that. But the problem is with Jesse Eisenberg, he plays the same character in every movie. He's this shy, kind of bashful guy. He's not this in-your-face. Kind of like,
which
Lex
I think
Luthor
maybe that's
will talk shit.
I think that's what I think we might be surprised by, because if you haven't seen me now, you see me. If I don't know if you've
seen
that movie,
seen
it's
that
basically about magic and like pulling the wool over people's eyes. Got Woody Harrelson's in it. It's got him in it. It's got a whole bunch of people in it, but it's really good. And if you see that, you kind of after seeing that movie, I can kind of see where they're going with this version. And I posted a picture of basically the red-haired Abe Lincoln, as Eric Dewey put it. But that's basically long red hair, curly hair. Lex is a little bit younger, and if you think about it, like Upstart Tycoon, you kind of are using that Facebook popularity movie a bit much, because like figure of it, like it's the same kind of idea of like young upstart, things like that. But I think we also forgot about in the Smallville saga, Lex is taking over for his father. And so maybe we're starting to get that aspect where maybe Lex's father is realizing they're going to go broke if they try to repair everything that the alien has destroyed. And maybe he's having to come in and be like, well, Dad, I think we need to put a new face on this. And is kind of maybe taking the reins and like showing people like we can rebuild, no problem. And like trying to put a younger spin on like a... Maybe a company that maybe hasn't always been as noble, and that's kind of maybe where I'm thinking they might go with this. Maybe LexCorp has been around. It's kind of like Coca-Cola. They've been around
forever.
Well,
we already know LexCorp has been around because it was established in the movie. There was all the little things.
But I think like we don't know how it's manufactured. Is it like a Walmart? Has it been around forever? Is it just coming out? Like we don't know like how they're going to spin that. We just know it exists in this universe, but we don't know exactly like the parameters, how long it's been in business. And I think if we understand that, maybe we'll understand like that kind of thing too, because here's the thing too, is like supposedly like Bruce Wayne and Lex are supposed to be kind of be almost same age or around the same,
yeah,
as far as I knew it. So for them to kind of go, here's Bruce Wayne, older, old Wayne Corp, maybe old ideals,
mm-hmm,
and now here comes this young upstart Lex Luthor who's now like taking the reins and showing companies like, well, look at all this technology I'm building, look how it's helping the people. And Wayne Tech, they don't want to do anything like that. They're all, you know, hush hush and not helping the people. Or who knows, like maybe Wayne is more other things, and Lex is like showing you like food and technology and computers and like all, who knows, like we don't know how they're going to spin it. So maybe going younger is the way they were kind of doing that. It's like, oh, look at this young upstart, like, and like maybe he's like, I don't trust, you know, young, you know, like I don't trust new, because like you don't know how they're going to react. Basically what I also understood Lex being, basically if you look at Superman without the powers, that's supposedly what Lex was supposed to be. He's the best of the best of human beings.
Yeah.
He's smart, he's strong, he's intelligent, he's got a gift for everything, he's giving, very giving.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
he
no.
was very like, oh yeah, I'll build charities and this and this. Wasn't really into a lot of like corruption and things like that at the beginning. And, you know, was very powerful, like, had all this stuff, because he built Metropolis. Like, literally, he's the guy who built Metropolis. So, like, he was very noble, and what it was is, like, literally one day, you see a guy come in, he lifts a car and can fly, and the world goes nuts for this superhero, and he kind of was like, but what about me? I've been doing, look at what I did for you, and, like, you only care about this?
Uh-huh.
And, like, literally, that's what, and then, like, then that becomes his mission of, like, oh, this effing alien, like, took my thunder.
Yeah.
Like, that's when he kind of turns, like, it actually, if you think about it, Superman's what turns him to be evil. It's never like he was evil to begin with.
Yeah.
Like he was like he might have been very intelligent, maybe had his hands in a lot of things, but basically it was the fact that the Superman exists and it's not Lex is what got him to be like, you know, like God. So I wonder how they're going to twist it with this character too. So again, I had 10 ideas better than this character actor, but I can kind of already see where they're going with it, maybe like in a sense of filming wise, you know, like there's a lot of points that they can go with it that we're not thinking right now. A lot of us are just thinking like physical bald actor. Like,
well,
Luther,
I wasn't
like,
even thinking
like
bald actor. I was just thinking mine is like you want someone who's fit,
who fits that,
who you want someone who's smart, who can play a smart, intelligent person. You want that person who wants to be 10 steps ahead of everybody. Like Jesse Eisenberg was just far. Like, he wasn't even, like, but then again...
He wasn't even in our radar,
Who also wasn't in our radar? Ben Affleck, so...
Well, see, exactly, right, yeah, a lot of people...
The thing I just laugh so hard about this is how, now, if you've listened to Straight Outta Austin...
I did.
Their 100th episode, they talk about, apparently, they don't like Jesse,
Eisenberg.
Like, they just don't like him as an actor or a human being or whatnot. And then this news came out. I was just
as a man.
I'm
he
like,
sucks as a man.
I just feel like they were just going to have a field day with this.
Jesus
so.
Fucking Christ. I didn't even think about that guy.
What?
Well, like, I've seen other people saying, of course, like, other people that could have played him. What are the gentlemen at our downtown in Texas talking about? Let's go with them first, because then I found some good ones I'll bring up.
No, they didn't even mention who could play. Well, that news wasn't released yet when the show. They were just talking about how they didn't like.
Oh, they just
Jesse
didn't
Eisenberg.
Like him. And
yeah,
then, of
so then I just thought
so
they were having
like, oh,
a field day.
They probably are, and we hope to hear from them. Other people, someone talked about is John Locke from Lost. Could have done Alexa. They're a little bit older, bald. But again, like the problem I have with the internet is, internet's very good about like you
who looks
look,
like the guy. Yeah,
you look like Alexa. So I'm going to go with you. One person I would have thought of, and here's where I would have gone. And I think I don't know. People can disagree. Agree. Longboxcast at Longboxcast. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss. We'll talk further on the next show. Denzel Washington as Lex Luthor.
We have not seen a black Lex Luthor, but I would.
We get a black Perry White, and everyone was up in arms about that.
That's
I think
true.
He did us
and
a good job
yeah,
with it.
Lawrence Fishburne.
We had a
really
Jane Olsen instead
Olsen,
of a Jeremy.
Right. Yeah, why not? Yeah, you
why
know,
not? Like, why can't we live in a world where a black man is a successful businessman who hates white people? Like, why can't we have that? I mean, think about it. Like, Superman's always white. Batman's always white. Like, why not give us a villain that I actually be like,
you know,
fuck
Denzel
yeah,
Washington
right.
would have been a really good pick because
I've
that
seen him
would
in Training
that,
Day. I've
that would
seen
have
him
been
in a whole
so
bunch of
off
movies.
The radar.
Yeah.
And
everyone probably would have been like,
okay,
this is different.
I
like,
could
okay.
see that, you know, but who knows what they're planning.
That would have been my choice.
That's actually a good choice. I'm not going to disagree with you. If anybody does disagree, again, you can find us at
yeah.
At
go to Longboxcast. Let us know what you would have thought.
What you would have thought. Like,
but then again, like there, the John Byrne who did the Superman around this time, his book was called Man of Steel,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's where he's Zack Snyder is drawing a lot of this kind of like info from because I've seen a lot of similarities with it. Like the thing about the Codex in the first movie, the thing about the birthing chambers and like the kids being born, that is actually all from Man of Steel, because in the death of Superman, when there's that whole birthing matrix and stuff, and everyone's like, what? Huh? What's this stupid thing? Like, he invented all that. Like, his retelling of the Superman, Man of Steel, is all about that. Like, it's all about, like, that kind of thing. And what that was actually the first time, too, that you would see Superman, like Metallo would hit him with something, he'd fall to the ground and like his costume would be destroyed a bit. Mm-hmm. Like before then, like Superman could not be killed, could not be injured at all. And definitely Byrne was the one to actually give him like his cape would be destroyed.
Yeah.
Or like his shirt would be ripping or he'd bleed, you know, because they dumbed down his powers too. They got rid of a lot of that riffraff. Like they got rid of like, I don't know if you remember, there was like blue kryptonite, teal kryptonite.
Yeah.
And it made Superman have different effects and different problems. They also had like Beppo.
Yeah,
super
like if
monkey.
You do like a red sun, like he becomes normal. So.
Then it was like Beppo, the super monkey, and then it was like Comet, the super horse. Like all these stupid like sidekicks they were throwing in just to try and get readers involved. So when Byrne took over, he got rid of a lot of that stuff.
Crypto!
And yeah, he did get it. Unfortunately, he got rid of Crypto and stuff. But then like that's the problem is like people love Supergirl, but the only way you can get Supergirl is if you get Crypto. Because it helps tie in the whole idea of like shuttles leaving, you know, escaping Krypton and stuff
like
that. A really good theory that I heard from somebody, a fan of, that tweeted a couple weeks ago, which I didn't think about. If you watch Man of Steel, there's a part where he goes and finds that ship up in the Arctic.
Yes.
He's in there. And he finds like almost like these pods and there's bodies in them.
Yeah.
Like they're dead bodies. There's one that's open. Now, this is supposed to be like 20,000 years before Clark lands on there. Like that's when they say it's like because of the ice ratio, it's 20,000 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, someone didn't brought it up that, okay, one capsule's open. A lot of people were kind of assuming, oh, well, maybe that's just open for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But some people were even thinking like, well, maybe that was like Supergirl or something like that. They thought something clever, like how cool is that? Maybe she's there, she's frozen in the ice somewhere, things like that. But the ship took off and left, and obviously there was no trace of anybody else. So then someone else brought up the point, like, well, maybe there's descendants of this person. And then like it helps maybe explain like Wonder Woman and like some of these other beings, these gods that they were talking about, like in the future, you know, aliens coming to Earth. History Channel has a show called, you know, Ancient Aliens, which is hilarious to watch.
With that guy with the crazy like, oh.
To West Wheels. That's how he talks. Yeah. He talks like Elmer Fudd. So he's like always like, you know, I'm not going to say aliens, but aliens. Like that's how he does.
Be very quiet. We're hunting aliens.
So on that show, like it kind of brings up some good valid points, though. Like at that time, human beings would not be able to construct certain things. So the only way they could is if they had help. So to me, like having maybe that aspect, too, of like maybe these are the descendants of Kryptonians also would explain why Wonder Woman is just equally as strong as if not stronger than Superman. Because obviously, like if she was Kryptonian, it comes from Kryptonian descendants. Why aren't, you know, how else do you explain superhuman strength? Because then you got to get into the whole mythology and gods exist and there's multiple gods and like it's just going to be too much, I think, for fans to handle. I'm hoping they're just going to come out and say Justice League movie, because that would explain why they're throwing all these characters in there. And then that way I don't give a shit if they choose a character then of Lex Luthor who's not as good, because to me it's like, well, no big deal. And maybe in this saga we'd barely see Lex. Maybe Lex is just like, well, got to rebuild Metropolis, see you later, and that's all we get. And like then instead it's all about like something else. Because they're throwing a lot of people in this movie, and I think, unfortunately, when you start throwing some actors and you're trying to give them their all, it reminds me too much of, like, Avengers. If you watched Avengers without seeing the other films, you have, unless you're a comic book fan, they don't really give enough time for each character. They give a little bit here and there, and a little bit of interaction, but there's not enough for you to be like, oh, Black Widow's an agent, or oh, Hawkeye and her know each other. Like, there's not a lot of development.
That's true.
You're just kind of more like, okay, like, they all, this is it. And I feel you don't have to do that with a Justice League movie. You could just show all the characters in the film. Fans would be like, finally, like, we get it. Like, if Grandma goes to see each other, who's the green guy? You don't have to be like, well, fuck you, Grandma. Go watch all these movies. Like, you know.
Which green guy?
Exactly. People know what we're talking about. But
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, exactly. In case you didn't know. Then in which case, Grandma, put down the fucking headphones and go watch some movies and read some comments.
Okay.
Yeah, see you later. But for me, like, they could do that and it'd be fine. But in a sense of, like, movie making, you have to do these things to get all the audience satisfied. If a mom and pop just went off the street and had never heard of Superman, which is unreal, and went to see Man of Steel, they're going to already have a perspective based on it. Now, as a fan base, we're going to have our perspective on it. Comic readers have a perspective on it.
Yeah.
People who are friends of, like, the George Reeves TV show or the Christopher Reeves movies or things like that, the animated series, everyone's going to have their own perspective on it. So you're trying to please
everybody,
as much of an audience as you can in these films. And unfortunately, like, again, they're films. They're supposed to be entertaining. They're supposed to be like, wow.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I've been
doing.
And
that's where I think they're trying to go with
it.
Like,
to me,
to get
I'm
a
like,
big,
if
wow.
I watch a film now and it's entertaining, I feel like the film did its job.
So I think that's the problem, is they're trying to get those wows at. So, I mean, like, I don't think I'm going to be wowed. But then again, no one thought Heath Ledger was going to wow them. And
that's
stole that movie.
He stole that movie. I know we'll be wrapping this up pretty soon.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of works out because I know most of the notes that are in the show are...
Man of Steel.
No, are actually kind of outdated. But I'm just gonna throw this in. I'm just gonna try to tie this into comic book news. This is actually happening, and I'm actually like, thank you, Disney. You're doing something correct now. If you have not heard about this, this has just hit the airwaves or the internet a little bit a couple of days ago. But now I'm gonna assume that they did have comics. These two characters, they had a cartoon show. They were sidekicks in cartoon shows. And now it looks like they are finally doing a live action, probably with the CGI rendering of these characters. But
Dagger Dale.
And Chip.
Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Is it going to be like Alvin and Chipmunks?
Probably not. It's probably going to be based more on like Chip and Dale and Monty, yeah. Monty Henry, Jack, Gadget, and Zipper. But I think they're finally going to do a live-action cartoon, which I would say would be awesome if they can do it correctly, because if they do it correctly, guess what? You redid the DuckTales video game.
Yeah.
Looks phenomenal. If this goes well and everyone starts getting on board, we might be able to get like a Gargoyles movie.
We might
be able to get a...
Disney Afternoon. Like, you figure all those kids are grown up buying homes.
You get new Tailspin movie.
Hell yeah.
Best movie ever, though? Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, I mean, get a Darkwing Duck in there. That would be pretty wicked if they started really going down
Disney,
that line.
I really think you should start doing this. I hope it does well because... And guess what? Movie does great. You can re-bring back the cartoon show for all these kids who didn't know about it.
And the person who's doing it is actually the guy who helped reboot the Muppets franchise with the Muppet movies.
Oh, okay.
So it's the guy behind that who's trying
to reboot
some of
these. I even think they got the original creators of the show to help write and produce for this. So
yeah, and see, a lot of people are like talking about like the DuckTales movie that was back in the 90s actually grossed quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I mean,
these movies are
things that I just think would be a great idea.
I mean, how well, I want to pull up the numbers, but we should pull up the DuckTales game that came out recently, redid. Like, how much traffic did that shit get?
Actually, you know what? I'm just going to pull that. We should pull it up on Arcade Bros, but...
Oh, well. We'll pull it up now. But because it is animation, it is comics and things like that. And actually,
yeah, DuckTales
those were some
coming.
Of our first comic books that we read were, like, Disney ones. I still have my Goofy ones that I had. I think it was, like, Donald Duck comics. There was Mickey comics, you know, all those fun comics, so... I think also, too, the another big news was the... What was the guy's name? It recently was announced that a character was appearing in the new Captain America movie. And
oh, they talked about the actor. What's his face? We were just talking about it on the idiot section. Robert Redford?
Well, Robert Redford, he's in it as, like, I guess, like a contractor for the United States.
Yeah.
He's in it. But this guy... I spelled American. I typed in it instead of Captain America. I typed in American Captain.
You're like America all. Express.
So I got a porn site there. Definitely check it out. It's fun. Let me see here. The character's name was in here because they showed that basically what it was is that I don't think it was supposed to be leaked, but it was a fight scene that was happening between these two characters. And it was a character that I guess a lot of people are like, oh, yeah. And it's on the Captain America Winter Soldier. I'm pulling up the picture right now. It's from a friend of ours posted it. What is it? Oh, those are good. Yeah, so obviously the Falcon's in it. We have this guy. And then the guy fighting. Who is that guy?
Okay, well, of course I can't find how much the game made. But
so, yeah, they got some new set picks and character posters. So like Black Widow has a good poster too. She's got a pretty wicked one. God, well, that was the picture of the guy that's fighting. He's something called the Pearl Man, the Profile Man, or something like that. I'm gonna pull it up right now. Sorry for the dead air, guys. We're trying to find it. It just came out this week, and a lot of people were talking about it.
Well, I'll try to entertain the fans dancing around.
Yeah, here we go. We'll just...
Oh, now he finds it.
Well, go ahead. Oh, the Leaper is what his name is. His name is Batroc the Leaper. Is a classic Captain America villain created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Batroc was a member of the French Legion who trained himself in a French kickboxing-style fight. But he's played by a white guy. And it's in the film, he's actually, in the comics, he's more of a Indian or black descent. But in this one, so like here, this is the only still that they have of him fighting him. But this is basically like his costume. He had like a yellow down the middle, purple on the sides.
Oh, okay.
And things. And he did a lot of more kung fu with his feet. Mm. So he's going to make an appearance in the film Bat-Rock the Leaper. That's his name. Bat-Rock is the guy I couldn't find. But yeah, I mean, look how wicked that poster is of Black Widow.
Yeah, I mean,
you got him over the thing again, Nick Fury.
Oh, it's funny. Did you hear about Samuel Jackson? He was like, I got two more films. My contract's almost up. Basically, like, come on, Marvel, give me more money. Yeah, like, he loves doing that.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you?
He's just like, whatever, I'll do what I want, bitches.
So I think for me, like, that'll be cool to see because obviously he's a big, if you're a Captain America fanboy, you know all his villains. So it'll be neat to see how they tie him into it as well. That was some gaming news. A new movie also that came out was Justice League War.
Yes.
And War is basically an animated version of, I guess, the Justice League origins story. It's volume 1, 2, and 3 are out now. Basically, it's about where Darkseid's coming into play. They're building up on all the characters in it. What's interesting, though, about the movie, and a lot of fans are kind of upset about it, is in the comic, you have people like Martian Manhunter, you have Aquaman, Cyborg's in it, Green Lantern, of course, the white Green Lantern, not the black. You have Wonder Woman, you have this, and these are, they're in the new suits. This is the first time you're seeing Superman without the red undies. You know, it's kind of more of his Kryptonian suit. You got a new Batman look, you got a new Wonder Woman look, even like her new looks awesome. And in the anime animation, she looks wicked. Like, they have a really cool look to it. But it's an animation that's coming out, and I guess it's already coming out to Blu-ray. Darkseid is played by, I believe, Greg Bluth, who did Spike from, like, Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, okay.
So, and I mean, like, the voice fits. I still love Michael Ironside as Darkseid from the animated Superman. I feel like that was one of the best portrayals of Darkseid's voice because he had just said, like, elegant but the raspiness of his
actually,
voice.
Actually, that was one of my favorite. I was just, like I said, when I rewatched all these Justice Leagues, one of my favorite episodes is Darkseid comes back and he starts attacking Earth, and it's Superman, Batman, and Lex Luthor that are basically Darkseid comes to them first. And what I like about it is Superman, you know, he's getting beat up and everything like that, and then Superman finally hits him and Darkseid hits the ground. And what I like about Tim Daly, how he just delivers everything, he's like, you know, with everybody else, I always have to hold back.
Yeah, now we have a special, or something like this.
Like, he's just like, I always have to hold back. I can never show you, like, my true power and stuff like that. But with you, I get to go nuts.
Do something, yeah, it's like I get to let loose or something.
Yeah,
like
let
that.
Loose.
Yeah.
And he literally just charges at him, hits him down on the ground, just socks him. And he's just, like, flying, like, through building, which, by the way, he's flying building. They're having this huge epic battle in Metropolis. There's a bunch of people watching it happen. So, guess what, Man of Steel kind of did that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
And even Man of Steel, like, they asked him, you can watch the Kevin Smith, like, behind the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And he asked him, like, point blank, like, how many people died? And he goes, if I had to put a number on it, 5,000. He goes, and saying a number kind of, like, dwindles it, because you think about it, 9/11, 3,000 people died,
yeah.
And this happened, so you put a small number on it, like, it really doesn't matter. But then again, like, that's the problem with conflicts with villains and heroes, is, like, Zod was going to kill everyone.
Yeah,
that was the whole point, like, a couple million here and there, like, Zod was going to kill every motherfucker. So I mean, like, you have to put that in perspective where, and again, like we said, Superman has had no training. Zod was a warrior.
Yeah,
he was born to fight, he was born to battle. So, I mean, like, you have that whole conflict, too, where, like, Zod was pulling, like, that's what I love, is, like, you see Zod, like, knock him down and throw him into a truck. Like, Superman, all he knew how to do was throw a punch. Like, that
yeah.
was it. And that's what I liked about it. But you see how quickly, like, Superman had to try and learn, like, I could put you in a chokehold.
Yeah.
You know, and you could shoot your laser eyes, but, like, I had to do something to stop you, you know. And then you saw the gut-wrenching, like, scream of his, like, because he just realized, like, I had no other choice
or,
like,
whatnot. But, but then again, it's like, what I love is, like, Darkseid's flying through all these buildings, and
oh,
then
yeah,
Superman
yeah.
just whips right behind him
yeah,
again.
Like,
it's
he
just like,
appears, like, boom.
Just knocks him down again. It's just like, I'm like, that's just all.
I'm
like,
one of my favorite ones they did is the New 52 when they did the telling of Supergirl.
Uh-huh.
The new telling, I believe it's like Public Enemy, Superman, Batman, Public Enemy, Superman, Batman. There's one with where basically this meteorite's coming to Earth. Public Enemy is they use a robot designed by Dollmaker's Kid to destroy
yes.
it. But what it ends up being is it's the ship for his sister or his cousin or
his
whatever.
Cousin, yeah.
She crashes. She's walking around naked speaking Kryptonian, which is kind of cool. It's very elvish kind of sounding.
Oh, yeah. I remember
yeah.
seeing that one.
So Batman, like, finds her. Like, he's trying to help her, but obviously he's donned as a creepy guy in a suit, so of course she's freaked out. Superman finds her, they talk, then right away Superman's very trusting, and Batman's like, can't trust her, we don't know who she is. And of course Darkseid sees her as a almost like a prodigy. Like, oh, cool, oh, yeah. Like somebody I can mold into being who I want. So there's a whole battle with that. They go to Darkseid's place. And what I love about that episode is that, or that whole saga, is like, Superman's using the brute strength. He's trying to fight her. He's trying to get her to break the spell or whatever.
Yeah.
He ends up going toe-to-toe with Darkseid, being like, leave her out of this, you know, kind of thing. He ends up starting to lose with Darkseid because he realizes that if I kill Darkseid or hurt Darkseid, I hurt her kind of thing. But Batman was smart enough to basically rig all these explosives on the planet and then say, like, you know, you kill me or you don't let us go, and I detonate all these and there's nothing left. And it's one of the best lines I like, because I think in that one is the one where, like, at the before, like, the events happen, there's a thing where Darkseid says, like, almost like, well played, like, the, like, well played to you kind of thing, like, you know, like.
Oh, that's what I loved about it. It's like, literally, I think Superman's battling, like, Mommy Dearest and, like, all those henchmen and stuff like that, and then Supergirl's, you know, battling him, and then Batman literally, like, yeah, he does what he does, and literally just shows up, and Darkseid, you know, is just sitting in his palace, you know, being, like, his, you know, badassness and whatnot, and he just looks over, he's like, oh, you really think, like, a mortal can do that? And he's all like, you kill me, and I've rigged your entire planet, everything, everything.
And I have the detonator.
And I have the detonator or whatever. And I can blow it up, and you just see Darkseid are just all like, and literally, yeah, Darkseid delivers his line like, well played.
Yeah, exactly. He's just all like, oh, okay.
He's like, he's like, because he knows Superman won't kill him.
Right.
But Batman's just all like,
he doesn't know Batman.
I don't care. So,
and what I love is, so then what I like about that one is they come back to Earth, and like him and her are on the farm, and he's saying, why don't you stay here until you learn to control your powers? This way you get to be a girl. Like, that was the problem. Yeah. It was like, everyone was trying to control her, and she's like, I'm a girl. Let me make my own choices. Yeah. Like, she was trained by the Amazonians. Batman wanted to train her. Superman wanted to watch her. Like, all these people were trying to control her, and she's like, I just finally found out that I'm alive and that my cousin's all right, and I'm on this planet I have no clue about.
Yeah.
Learning that my parents and everyone's dead, at least at the time she thought. She didn't know about the city of Kandor being shrunk.
Yeah.
And so, like, you think, oh, my God, like, you know, let me just be who I want to be.
Yeah.
So when they're on the farm, all of a sudden, like, Darkseid shows up, and he starts, like, basically just trying to kill them. Like, basically said, made his promise on the planet he's on, and then comes back. So, and that's the one where, like, Superman, like, lets loose, and it's a great animation, because you just see Superman's, like, fist, just, like, you can't even see him.
Oh, yeah.
But you just see Darkseid's face, like, getting hit like crazy. So that was, again, like,
that was, like, that other guy he also fights, too.
It was, like, Kardak or something like that.
It's like that guy with that. No, it's not his son. It's, there's this other guy who had War World. It was, like, that planet show where, like, him and Superman basically gets lost into space.
Oh,
and
they pick
him up, and it's, like, a Kryptonium, and he has to battle, but then the guy's all, like, oh, I want someone who's good enough to battle.
Yeah, challenge, yeah, yeah.
And my favorite episode is when he comes back and he puts that rose thing on Superman, and Superman sees like this life he could have had. Basically.
Yeah, and that's actually from A Tale with Mongul.
That's because
Mongul was an Alan Moore story.
Yes.
Basically, what it is, they show up to Superman's place for a birthday, something or other.
Yeah, yeah. Fortress of Solitude.
Fortress of Solitude. They show up and they give him like a gift. He ends up wearing that. He's like caught wearing that thing. They can't break it.
Yeah.
He starts imagining, yeah, like what life would be
like.
Like
he has like a wife. He has a kid. Everything's great and stuff like that. Yeah. And then what I love is like Batman pulls it off of him. It lands on Batman. I like Superman just literally like he doesn't even say anything. He just literally turns around and takes off. And he just starts pummeling this guy, and he's like, do you even realize, like, what you have done to me? And he's just, like, wailing on this guy.
Yeah.
He's just like, and to be honest with you, I really wish, like, it would have ended more where they finally get off Batman, and Batman just destroys this guy. Because Batman, you see, like, gets pulled, his dad grabs the gun, his dad starts pummeling this guy, just pummeling him.
And he's like, all right, dad.
And all this great stuff, and then it gets ripped off finally, and then you see, like, it turns
the horror,
back around,
yeah,
like,
the
he gets shot again and things.
Yeah. Well, you see just, like, the horror in his face that he realizes, like, no, like, what could have been?
Yeah.
And what I like about, like, in the Public Enemy story, they do that whole story where he actually does save his parents because of traveling through time and stuff. But what I like about the Alan Moore one is it's great because, like, Superman couldn't break free because he was stuck in his mindset.
Yeah.
What was so good about the Alan Moore writing was that Bruce gets hit and right away he starts seeing all the things and he knew it was a lie. So he was able to break the will of this creature.
Oh, okay.
But then he ends up, like, all you see is him being like, ah, and that's it. And then it cuts and it shows Mongul, like, on a throne of skulls. And it's like how Mongul, like, destroyed the earth and made it his own. And everyone rules him. And now he's the ruler of this dead planet. And wahaha. But what it shows is it shows Mongul just like this. And Batman, like, put it on him.
Yeah.
So then it was like that whole twist of, like, haha. Like, you know, but at the end of it, you think, oh, shit, like, Mongul won.
Yeah.
But it really was like that was the whole point.
Yeah,
of
that
it.
Was his thing.
Brilliant act. Thing because that's what was so good about it, like Batman's will was so like and his mindset of like he knew what to do, so he was able to break it off of him. But this definitely looks good. The animation looks good. No Aquaman until the end. It's got Cyborg in it. It's got all about that. Because basically the animation, if you watch the teaser trailer,
yeah,
is like basically all the shit's going down. And they all say, what kind of technology is this? And they go, alien. And they go, like him.
Because
they don't know it's not Superman. So Batman confronts him. And it shows like where Superman like throws Batman against a wall or something. And it's like, what can you do? And then it cuts to like all these things happening. And then Batman's like, let's do it my way. And then it shows like all this shit going down, like how basically Batman's kind of like Superman and all of them come together, and it's like the Justice League. But I don't think Superman's the leader in this. I think definitely more it's like Batman's the leader, and everyone else is like, we coordinate with you, like we listen to what you do, and go from there. And then what's great is like one of the best lines I've heard so far is like it shows the Green Lantern doing something, and then he's like, you're not just some guy in a bat suit, are you? And then it just shows like Batman looking at him and kind of gives him like a half smile. Because it's like, you have no clue who I am. So it's
That was my favorite Justice. And we're going to be wrapping up the trilogy, but my favorite Justice League episode is at the end where the Hawk people come to invade Earth and everything like that, and they get to the store and they're like, okay, we need to go into Cognito and stuff like that. Like, we need to wear normal clothes. And then West is the Flash, which I didn't realize. I thought it was Barry Allen, and that's what I thought. I was like, oh, this explains so much of his angst and stuff like that. But he's all like, it's like him, Batman, everybody, like, and people know who Superman is and all that kind of stuff. But it was just great because then Batman's just all like, Wally West, Clark Kent, you know, Diana, and then he rips off his vest like Bruce Wayne, and then it's all like he knew everybody, and even Wally West thought his identity was still alive.
Yeah, like, huh?
And then my favorite one, there was another episode real quick with the Flash and Lex Luthor switch bodies.
He's
running around trying to get out of the Justice thing because he's like in the body. And he's like, well, I might as well figure out who the Flash is, and he rips off the mask. He goes, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, because he's like, well, I might as well find out who
this
is.
And I was just like, that's
yeah, because it's true, because Wally West was just like a nobody. Like, yeah, he's not somebody like, huh, okay.
Yeah, it was just so great. He's just, I have no idea.
And what
this
I like is,
is
if you listen to it, we're big fans of this show. Kevin Smith, we're giving you a shout out. Listen to the new Fat Man on Batman because it's got Neil Adams about who's the guy who really designed the new Green Lantern, John. And what's cool is there's a comic that he talks about, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Everyone's always wondering about Batman.
Oh,
like,
Batman's
about
thing, yeah.
And it was where he was the one to put that metal thing that has all the sensories and all that. And then also it explains why no one can see him. Like, even if he had X-ray vision, you couldn't see who he was because he had that thing on. So definitely check his stuff out. He's also the one everyone knows everyone knows the scene, but no one knows the artist. And now you know it's Neil Adams. The Batman fighting the shark and having the chains and pulling
it out. Yeah.
Neil Adams was the one who did that in the first comic book. And that's where, like, Kevin Smith even said, like, he's biting a shark.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so, like,
yeah, it was
oh
so good.
God.
Yeah, definitely check that. That was a good podcast. I really liked that. He even talks about the knife fight.
I love, God, his whole story. Like,
his
I
whole
can
story.
To him
I can listen. Like, I love the people he gets on those podcasts. I really, like, I know we're going to hopefully try to get some guests on here as well, especially with the Comic-Con season coming up in June.
Oh, yeah.
But, Kyle, anything we want to talk about before we get going, the wrap-ups?
Everyone, our question was, if you could be any superhero in a movie, who would you pick? We had Eric Dewey say Christian Walker from Powers. He's like a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say, actually, that would be pretty good. We had Calypso Inconsequential, said Phil Collins. Oh, Phil Coulson. Yes, and then also we had Cinema OTR, at Cinema OTR, said The Shadow fits my style and personality, and hey, who wouldn't mind being rich, which is true, you know, Shadow's rich. As always, you can find us at longboxcast.com. We'd love to hear about you guys, what you feel about the new Lex, the new Butler, everything. Give us a shout-out on our either Facebook page or Twitter. You can find us just using Longboxcast. And as always, kids, face front, enough said.
Excelsior! Shazam!
That is probably the best pickup line for children of that.
Let's get dangerous.
As always, this has been another fine production of the Four Eyed Radio Network. For more shows, please visit foureyedradio.com.
Let's get dangerous.
Bender!
Ha ha ha!